That's another thing that I think is absolutely fantastic about DeepSight. It is bringing science to the public and being able to communicate how interesting and important these things are to people that have not previously been involved in science, don't really know why it should be something that people care about, is really, really important.
Hello, people of the DeepSight podcast. My name is Ella McCarthy Page, and I'm going to be joining you as one of the hosts on this channel. I have a background in biochemistry and material science, and I'm currently working as molecule science communicator. Today, I'm going to be speaking to Alfred Brown. Alfred is a co-founder of DeepSight London, which is a community aiming to de-silo academic research and enhance a new form of network science by utilizing Web3 tools. He also works with Synbio Beta. He is currently a PhD candidate at Imperial College London, where his research focuses on the intersection of synthetic biology and AI. He is passionate about moving the bioeconomy forward by enhancing communication and collaboration.
So thanks so much for joining me on the DeepSight
My
podcast.
pleasure.
We're very excited to be speaking to you. I think sort of the most obvious place to start is, can you talk to me about your journey into DeepSight?
Yeah, 100%. So I initially learned about DeepSight through a podcast. So full circle at the moment. But it was the Ultra Rare podcast by Jocelyn Pearl. And I basically got told by some friends, oh, just look up something that you're interested in, plus blockchain and see what comes up. So literally just looked up blockchain and life sciences, blockchain biology, and then they basically popped up. And at the time, I was working for a company called OpenCell, who were creating laboratories out of shipping containers in London. And I sort of saw this sort of alignment between what DeepSight was doing and trying to create more access and a more productive form of science with what OpenCell were doing, which was the same but in a more physical space. And so as soon as I noticed that, I immediately reached out to I think it was Nicholas from LabDAO
Okay.
and said, I really love what you guys are doing. And I kind of saw there was like an opportunity to hopefully get OpenCell sort of like plugged in to the LabDAO community and create. I had this sort of vision for creating scientists that were sort of, what's the word? Like freelance scientists, basically. And so I really liked that idea. And so ended up going to DeepSight Berlin and speaking about what OpenCell were doing and how we could potentially like plug into the DeepSight space in general. And that was fantastic, great experience, really brilliant conference. And then this sort of saw this opportunity, having seen how popular DeepSight was in Berlin, to create a similar community with my co-founder Barrett in London. And so the first meetup we hosted was at the back of a pub in Soho. Like four people came. And I think we did it through Meetup, and so I'm pretty sure that like not even I think it was one person knew what DeepSight actually was who came to us. And Barrett had put like £300 behind the bar. I had to go early, but apparently it was a really fun night. And so that was like the starting point for DeepSight London. And since then, it's been, I think, 18 months-ish now. And we've hosted a meetup every single month. And around September last year, OpenCell unfortunately ended operations, which meant that I had a lot more free time on my hands. And ended up just through chatting to some people at the meetup. In fact, Julia from Local Globe was the main catalyst for this. She said, you guys should host a conference. And so she put us in touch with sort of some of your team at Molecule and also some folks at the Francis Crick who had an amazing space. And we hosted a conference in January last year. And it's just been amazing seeing like the community go from strength to strength since then.
Amazing, amazing. I think a lot of good things start in pubs. but that's really cool. I kind of, you definitely came from a more like biology science background into DeSci, and I think, you know, there are sort of these two sides to DeSci, which is one's quite crypto and sort of blockchain based, and then obviously the science. So what was your sort of experience sort of navigating into like a blockchain world when it wasn't really something that you'd done before?
Yeah, I think well, I'm seeing more of it now, but at the time it felt quite unique for me to be going into DeSci and not know anything about Web3. And the more scientists that join DeSci, I think the more common that route is. But back just before DeSci Berlin, it was scientists that were already involved in blockchain thinking, how can we pair these things together? And I remember writing, well, trying to understand and write notes about, what exactly a blockchain was, and trying to wrap my head around the core principles, and it's really complex. And so it was quite a tricky experience. In terms of actually getting into the communities, I'm not sure if it's like this now, but I immediately sort of messaged all of the people that were in the sort of leading the space. I mentioned speaking to Nicholas, but then again, there's also the folks at ValiDAO that I'm very close with. And I just was welcomed into their communities. And also I haven't really experienced Discord before. And I think that's another potential hurdle as well, in terms of people that, and it's a whole UX to understand and to be able to interact with the community. But so it was a bit tricky, but certainly worth it, I'd say. Yeah.
Okay, so what piece of advice could you give to sort of nascent DeSci scientists looking to get involved? Where do you think would be the easiest access point as someone who has done that journey?
Well, I mean, shameless plug, come to a DeSci London event. But I think I would certainly recommend going through people, because everyone in the space is super welcoming. I mean, join a Discord if you're aware of what Discord is, and just try and speak to people that are passionate about it, because they are going to try and help and support your journey into it. And I think that was something that I really noticed and was of massive value to me, because it is a bit of a learning barrier. But as soon as you sort of intro yourself, I think, and state sort of the amount that you want to be involved and what your experience is, then you're quite easily slotted in to help contribute. And I think that's something that's really fantastic about DeSci. It's bringing in people with a variety of different experiences, and it's lowering the barriers to what was sort of previously a gate-kept area in terms of science in general. And so it just being able to plug and play and bring your experiences is something that I think is one of the best components of DAOs in general. And so I would also really say, if you're not sure what you will be able to contribute, definitely still join, because there will be a space for you to do and contribute what you're best sort of fitted to do.
Yeah, I mean, for me, definitely the sort of community element of DeSci was one of the first things that really drew me in. And people are so welcoming. I think there's also this quite an energy of like, I think the community at the moment is small and it's growing quickly, and everyone sort of feels like they're on this precipice of something that's going to be really amazing and large. And I think it really like binds people to kind of throw whatever they have at it, and do it without sort of expecting sort of so much in return, but really just like with an alignment on like the public good of what DeSci can do for the world, which is just, I think, really, really remarkable. But
And also,
yeah.
You're on the bleeding edge of that because you're in communication as well. And that's another thing that I think is absolutely fantastic about DeSci. It is bringing science to the public and being able to communicate how interesting and important these things are to people that have not previously been involved in science, don't really know why it should be something that people care about, is really, really important. And I think it's something that, not to get too deep, but I think the school system really fails to communicate or teach. And so when you're in classes and you're learning all of the foundational stuff about the sciences, biology, I mean, great if you're interested in it, but actually seeing like the applications and what's happening at the real forefront is the thing that I find really, really interesting. Maybe it's because I'm a science nerd, but I think being able to bring more people in and show like this is like this is how photosynthesis works, but actually, what if you're able to harness the energy through like photovoltaic means to actually create electricity? Like, there's this thing that you need to learn as like foundational knowledge, and then there's like this really cool application that's at the cutting edge. And so, yeah, I think that being able to communicate that, all of these things, you can learn them, and then there's a really cool application is just really important as well. So that's why I
Absolutely.
think.
I think, I mean, people often sort of connect to something that they can see applied in their life, and that is definitely what DeSci is doing with the huge sort of foundation of like looking at translational science. It's all about like, okay, cool. How can we take stuff that's sort of being holed up in universities, and really bring it to a community and like let's get the community involved, which is how we are going to segue, in fact, into what we're here to talk about today, which is DeSci London. Can you please talk to me about dates, tickets, where it's going to be, what it's focused on? Just give me the whole runaround, please.
A whole lowdown, sure. So dates, that's the 23rd and 24th of March. Tickets are on our Eventbrite. All you have to do is Google DeSci London, and hopefully you should be able to find it there. And what it is, so it's we try to make it that this sort of like gathering of scientists and people that are involved in the DeSci space. We really see it as like an onboarding opportunity. Like, that's the whole purpose of the DeSci London community in general. It's creating a sort of safe space where people can, not really know that much about the space in general, and be able to be taught and shown what it's about, why, and all of those interesting things. And so we bring together all of the DeSci projects from around the globe and try and offer them a platform to speak to researchers, because at the end of the day, like, it's the researchers that are going to be adding value to the DAOs, and also getting value from the DAOs as well. And so they're like a really fundamental part of the picture and puzzle. And I think, given like DeSci as a space is quite often paired with like the rest of crypto, the sort of conferences in crypto, you'll be going around the world and all of these different places, but it's sort of next to a crypto event, and so those are the people that you're constantly surrounded by. And I think DeSci London is quite unique in that, we're not hosting it in London because there's ETH London going on. We're hosting it because it's got a seriously big concentration of researchers that we want to bring in to the community as a whole. And not just researchers in London as well, obviously. I mean, it's the easiest for them to come to, but we also are doing grants, which are kindly being funded by Cherry.xyz, which is a supporter, massive supporter of the space. And so we're wanting to get people from all over the UK, Europe, and the globe to attend. And yeah, so that's like the idea. We're wanting to bring in as many researchers as possible, and I guess also for the DAOs and just DeSci organizations in general, it's an opportunity to see if you've got like product market fit, and really sort of hone what you're doing to make sure that you are fixing a problem that researchers have. And also another thing that I think is really important is DeSci has a lot of momentum at the moment, and there's also been a lot of people in the space that have been working on these things without blockchain for a very long time. And so making sure to incorporate people that may not be involved in DeSci specifically, but are highly aligned in like the reasons why they're doing it and the overall objectives to make science better and more productive and fairer, also get a chance to speak and also get a chance to well, speak to researchers, but also speak to the people that are founding DeSci projects as well, because that sort of cross collaboration there is going to be really, really important in learning the lessons from the past of like open science and making sure not to, create the same errors. Well, not errors, but making sure that DeSci builds off of what open science has already done, I think is really important. And then hopefully convincing some open science folks that DeSci is actually like this really cool new application that they should get more involved in as well.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. Haven't been to DeSci Berlin myself. I do very much sort of get what you're saying about sort of this large alignment to crypto events. And so I think DeSci London is going to be really special in the fact that it is incredibly research orientated, and really, I think, focused around introduction and onboarding. Whereas I think, every event serves its own purpose, but some events I think are more like sort of really, really hot brain thinking sort of events where where a whole bunch of people get together and they just sort of really, really dig into the sort of core issues. Whereas I think focusing on onboarding is really, really necessary. And on that note, if someone would like to apply for a grant to come, how would they go about that? Are there any sort of
So,
specifications or?
yeah, we're just about to release, and so hopefully when this podcast is out in the world, there will be an application portal, and it's just a simple Google form where you sign up, sort of say reasons why you think you would add value or why you're curious as well. Like we're wanting to bring in people, really high value people that we think will significantly contribute towards the movement in general. And yeah, a key part of that, well, and then also the people that would not be able to attend otherwise as well. So those are like the two key criteria for what the travel grant, what we're looking for.
Yes. And so, I mean, I would love to get your opinion on something, which is I sort of, as I was sitting and thinking about this conversation we were going to have, and about how sort of you host a DeSci conference, and a huge core principle of decentralized science is that it is so decentralized, and conferences are by what they are is incredibly centralized. And I wanted to hear sort of what your take on it was.
Yeah, sure. It's a really good point, actually. One that I think about. So I think the reason why we focused in on London is, and to use a scientific term, this activation energy concept, and wanting to create this amount of energy where it then triggers like this reaction where all of a sudden everyone is hearing about it, everyone is integrating and becoming part of these organizations. And so yeah, I think it is really, really important and to bring in as many people in a decentralized fashion as possible. And DeSci London is trying to do that with the travel grants, but also it's trying to create that buzz and energy around the space where people that are contributing, well, people that would add value are contributing, and then hoping that the sort of secondary effect of that is that it's more spoken about and people are getting more familiar with it, and as a result, brings in more of an international crowd. And another thing that we've sort of been quite on or just advocating for is we've got this group chat of all of the different DeSci organization, well, not sorry, not organizations, DeSci groups or locations. And we've got sort of like DeSci Asia, DeSci Africa, DeSci LATAM, and we're all communicating about what we are doing as different communities and different geographic areas to onboard people. And so we can't fall into the same trap as TradSci, traditional science, where it is kind of gatekept, and we've got to ensure that we bring in as diverse a number of opinions as possible in every shape or form. And so that's been a large focus of what we've been doing at DeSci London, getting a representative group of people speaking about DeSci, and so people see themselves in the community, and it makes it sort of easier to join. And just in general, making sure that the value that we're creating here also gets spread out. And so there's actually something that we're working on at the moment, which has just been announced, called Muse Matrix. And it is this sort of idea, like this incubator accelerator, if you will, that kind of focuses on bringing together this cohort of people that are involved in either different parts of the crypto space or different parts of science, and allowing them to mingle. And this is something that we'll be focusing on in London, but also globally as well. This is a sort of collaboration between a bunch of the different DeSci communities. And essentially wanting to create this space where people that wouldn't usually meet, that could, add significant value to each other, can meet and speak and collaborate and create cool DeSci projects and applications. And so those are like a few things that we're doing to try and create this DeSci that is actually, decentralized. But also, I think this is an early stage, and maybe the same sort of example is given with crypto in general, that, is it actually that decentralized right now? And I guess the answer to that is that it could be more, but in order to get there, you need to have this phase of it being kind of a little bit centralized, a little bit propped up, so that it does get to that level where it can self-sustain.
Agreed, very much agreed. Alfred, I know that you sort of have a personal interest in music. You are a DJ, and you also, I know, have a personal interest in art, and have sort of prioritized those things when considering sort of how to communicate science and how to run events, and how, like, I think those things can really add to an event quality and that the way it connects with someone. And I wanted to ask you about what you think the role of art and creativity is within science.
So it's essential, and I think a failure of school in general is that you have art as one area that people think they can go down and science as the other. And I think that is awful. I think that you can and should have these things going together, and they both integrate into each other so well. Like if you th I when I'm approaching my PhD day to day, I think one of the most important things is to think creatively about your problems. And I think that is how you sort of invent new concepts in science. And so they are all passions of mine, and I think their intersection is super, super interesting and fun. And so I try to surround myself with people that agree with these things. So if you're interested in the intersection of art and biology, there are loads of really cool bio design courses out there, and competitions as well. There's a bio design challenge competition, and there is at Central St Martin's, a university in London, a bio design orientated masters. There's also another one, I think, at UCL as well. But it's this really cool area where people are thinking about biology and bio-inspired design, And so I think that if you bring all of these things together, then you create this really cool, creative, fun space in it. You are able to bring more people into science because they start to think of it as not just this boring subject that they had to endure at school. They can see that there are really cool, creative opportunities where you can think differently about things. And so, yeah, I mean, I've got loads of friends in the biodesign space, and I love how they're applying synthetic biology to different principles. And that's something that I really love. And then also the intersection of music as well is brilliant. At Symbio Beta last year, there was a bio rave, and I just felt like I'd found my people there. There was fantastic music. There were bioluminescent plants all over the space. There was a projector with a guy literally live on a microscope, moving around cells. And then there was an interruption of the music, and someone got on stage and did a poem about biology. It was fantastic. And so we're actually going to be trying to host a similar sort of thing at DeSci London. There's going to be an after party, and we want to try and create this space where scientists, artists, musicians, just people that are passionate about all of these different things can come together and just enjoy each other's company, because that's like, interdisciplinarity, collaboration, and just fun in general. And so, yeah, I think that it's a really, really important thing that needs to happen and will happen. And I think as Elliot Hirschberg, or I can't actually, who is it? I can't remember the name, but well, Elliot Hirschberg has a newsletter called The Century of Biology, but I think it was a term coined by another biologist. But we're entering the century of biology, or actually, we're fully in it at the moment. And so I think what we'll see is it starts entering a bunch of different areas of our life, and normal, regular people's lives as well. And so I think having that sort of cultural component to it is awesome and really exciting to be a part of.
That sounds amazing. This bio party. I wish I could have gone. And I
There
think
will be more.
there will be more. There will be more. We shall also attend. Yeah, I think also sort of you said something about like when you are doing your PhD, a lot of that requires sort of creative thinking to solutions. And I think that creativity line and thread that sort of weaves together those groups is really, really actually incredibly strong. And it's unfortunate that sort of school and maybe general thought has led us to think that science can be quite sterile, and sort of uninventive, when really it's like scientists are cowboys. They are literally out in the Wild West and like really, really having to think incredibly creatively about solutions, and then more so about how something potentially might work, but then how to effectively test it. And it's just basically literally trial and error. And I think that's pretty hardcore, in my opinion. You kind of, I mean, you exist in the role now of like quite a community builder in the DeSci space, and I think have actually a fair bit amount of experience in sort of running events and connecting people, and I wanted to know what you like your experiences in that, what you've learned, and yeah, kind of, and how if you sort of see yourself doing this for a long while, is it something you enjoy?
So building communities and running events. Building communities is really, really rewarding. You see people that would not usually meet, and you bring them together in a space, and this will be a bit like, ooh, but you create friends. Like, I've got a really great friendship group from hosting these DeSci London events, and everyone's really close, and there's that core community that constantly attend, as well as that community being essential to creating a welcoming environment to people that it is their first time. And so We actually went as a group to DeSci Paris. There was like a little DeSci London group, and it was absolutely wonderful.
You've been around in the event organization space for a while now and sort of do these monthly meetups. First of all, where could one, if someone is based in London, how does one find a monthly meetup?
Relatively simple. We post about them on Twitter. You can join our Telegram group, DeSci London, and we're also DeSci London on Twitter. And then we've also got a meetup, which we've found is useful. It's not got the best user experience, but it also organically sends messages to people that they think will be of interested in into the community. And so yeah, we've got a Telegram which we announce things in, we've got a DeSci Twitter that we announce things in, and a meetup as well.
Amazing, amazing, cool. If anyone is in London, be sure to check it out and go say hi to the guys
Absolutely.
and girls. You've been organizing events for a while now, and I think community building is a critical part of DeSci. Can you tell me about, what draws you to being a community builder and what you've learned and what advice you can give to people who potentially want to start their own DeSci communities in the cities that they're in?
Yeah, sure. So I think I'm a bit of a natural host. I love, even with friends, I love having friends over and cooking for them and just creating that space where people can hang out. And I think of DeSci London quite similarly to that. And I think that's why I naturally want to host these things, want to see these people bring to be brought together. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been quite a fun, interesting journey doing all of these meetups, but the amount of organization, I mean, we've got to source DeSci communities. So actually, that's an important thing. If you're creating a DeSci DAO or an organization and you want to speak to our community, we get like 50 or so people attending our meetups every single month, and we're always looking to sort of create that platform for our DeSci projects. And so if you are a DeSci project, come sort of, I don't know, DM me, and then we can get a conversation going around that. So that's like a really key component of hosting these events, is having people to speak about interesting things. And so that's one part, and then publicizing, announcing it, and is another key part, bringing in those people that I think would add actual value. So depending on what the DeSci organization is trying to get out of it, we really try and curate that audience. We'll have a core group of people that are interested in coming to all of the events, but if like 1 month is longevity and then 1 month is synthetic biology, you are just naturally going to get a fairly different crowd, because those are two different separate areas. And so, yeah, ensuring that the right people hear about the meetup as well is really important. So, yeah, those are a few things. But I think in general, it's just been really rewarding to get that core community, and it's a really important part of what we do at DeSci London. It's once you've created that core, and this would be my recommendation for people hoping to start new DeSci communities out there, is to get a really great core group that are really, really welcoming and really, really passionate, so that anyone can turn up curious and knowing nothing and get welcomed in and consider joining a DeSci organization or just wanting to come back and continue being part of that community. So, yeah, creating that core group of passionate people that are incredibly welcoming is a really important part.
Amazing, thank you. So you spoke about sort of finding interesting speakers and sort of the people who really will sort of activate and excite people. How has that informed your planning of the conference lineup?
Okay, the good question. I'm going to create my own question with that, which is like, how have you found creating interesting talks about DeSci for 18 months as well? Because I, in my opinion, everyone in the space is doing really amazing things, but they also can be quite technical, And so this also applies to hosting the conference in general as well. It's important to make sure that the people speaking are knowing who their audience is. And so this would be sort of advice to people wanting to communicate what they're doing in a DeSci project, is always know who you're talking to, know their background, get a feel for who they are. I always think that audience activation, asking questions to the crowd, seeing if they're academics or if they're in the DeSci space, have they heard about DeSci? Just getting a feel for who your audience is before you speak can really inform what you speak about. And so that I think that's a really important thing. And so you've got to tell a story as well. And I think that a lot of the DeSci space have got this covered. You've got to really communicate the frustrations of science and then also how you're trying to solve that as well. And the frustrations in science, I think, is a very easy thing to speak to because there are so many of them. And then it's talking about how your project tries to deal with those things and how people can get involved. So those are like the core things that I would recommend speaking about to anyone wanting to communicate DeSci. It's like, what are the problems? What are you doing to fix them? How can people get involved? Literally as simple as that. And if that's your structure for speaking about it, then hopefully you create an interesting talk. And that's also something that we consider when we're sourcing DeSci projects. But we are also wanting to support any stage DeSci project as well. And so, if your sort of speaking needs a little bit of work, then we, in the past, we did this with our last conference. We want well, DeSci projects to succeed. If that's something that that people need help on, we have given sort of public speaking advice to DeSci projects to make sure that they fully take advantage of having that really important audience of researchers in front of them and ensuring that people can join their community because they find what people are speaking about interesting and want to get involved.
Yes, yeah. I mean, as a science communicator myself, I could not agree with you more, sort of about figuring out who you're speaking to and letting that inform the rest. Do you have any potential, who are your potential speakers for the conference?
Who are our potential speakers for the conference? We've got a few folks in the works. We're wanting to get quite a broad range. And so obviously Molecule being one of the biggest proponents of the space, we're having some folks from Molecule and also some folks from the BioDAOs in general. But there's also a lot of stuff outside of the Molecule ecosystem and also people that are quite early stage as well. That we want to support and provide a platform to. And so we've kind of like split it up into, and I think this is how people in general think about the DeSci space. There's like the funding as a real application of DeSci. Then there's the sort of protocols and publishing side of things, and then data. And so we're wanting to essentially get a decent amount of talks on each specific subsector so that anyone that is wanting to know a little bit more about DeSci can get quite a decent overview of the ecosystem. And then, as I mentioned before, wanting to bring in a few Web 2, if I'm allowed to say those words on this podcast,
We will allow
organizations.
it.
A few of those organizations involved as well. And then we're currently working on including some policy related stuff. And also, a really important part it is getting researchers and speaking about their experiences as well. And so that's something that we're really trying to include too, because I think one of the most compelling things as a researcher. Is when you're skeptical about crypto and everything, is to see someone that's in your shoes and the speak about why they are involved and what their experience is. And so hopefully by showing that there are researchers involved in this and that this could be you, we try to bring together a decent sort of well-rounded sort of conference where we can touch on every single application and every single viewpoint as well.
Your inclusion of policy is really, really interesting to me. I don't think I've seen that so much cropping up, and I think it is super integral, and it's definitely going to be something that we're going to have to sort of face at some point. So could you elaborate a little bit more on how that's going to fit in to DeSci London and what your feelings are, thoughts?
So I can speak to what we did last year and what we're trying to do this year because we're trying to bring in a wide variety of different policy opinions, but we'll see whether they are interested enough in DSI. I can't see why they wouldn't be, but last year we hosted Chi Omorua, who is the Science, Technology, Innovation Shadow Minister in the UK. And so, for people outside of the UK, that is essentially you've got the governing party at the moment, which is the Conservatives, and then you've got the Labour Party that's not currently in power. And so, for every sort of role in the governing party, you have a shadow role in the non-governing party. And so, we brought Chi in to speak about what sort of Labour's vision for science, technology, and innovation is. And I actually had quite a decent tie connection to her in that I went to Newcastle and Viktor Kurilchuk, who is a self-professed guinea pig of DeSci, one of the first DeSci researchers who's part of Vita Dow. He is part of Newcastle University. And so I went to Chi sort of outlining that Newcastle is this place where there's really cool special things happening, and that it's sort of worth her attending to learn more about how funding can actually come from, non-governmental, non, sort of different avenues. And she found it really interesting. And so, yeah, she attended. And I think it's just really good to have people that are involved in government conscious that there are good, really interesting things happening in the Web3 blockchain space that could genuinely make science better. And so I think that should hopefully inform the policies that they make because there is a lot of sort of like regulatory unknowns at the moment. And so one thing that she did say is that the opposite of bad regulation. Wait, let me just remember this for a sec, because I don't want to say it incorrectly. It's the opposite of good regulation isn't no regulation, it's bad regulation. And so I think when she was saying that, it was trying to speak to the fact that they want to really support the ecosystem and having someone that is hopefully, or maybe going to be in government in the next year, aware of what DeSci is and hoping to create positive policies around, DeSci is really good news. And so just making sure that the people that have the ability to make decisions on a country or whatever level are aware of what DeSci is and the potential it has as a movement.
I think it also speaks to sort of the what we were talking about earlier about sort of decentralized science also having to have sort of some meeting points with the traditional world or the real world, you might call it, about sort of about the fact that like you have to figure out how to measure stuff so that it's got longevity, and also stays true to its principles, which is, I think, something that crops up a lot. within the decentralized ecosystem, and I think it's an interesting people. Everyone has differing opinions on how to do that and what level you should sort of align with policymakers and government and that sort of thing. And traditional universities, in my opinion at least, I think it is inevitable. And so I think it is really cool that we are sort of having people open up. And sort of people in more traditional structures, like you mentioned, the University of Newcastle, their technology transfer office was one of the first technology transfer offices that was so open to molecules, IPNFT, and IPT structure. And that was like really incredible. And it came down to sort of one person in the team who like knew a bit about crypto and felt like, cool, we're going to take this chance and we're going to do it. So I think the impact of just even a single person in the right place cannot be understated.
100%. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The DeSci London conference sounds very exciting. I'm sure that everyone who's listened to this podcast desperately wants to attend. If they cannot make it in person, are you guys going to be able to stream it? Will people be able to watch?
We do have a live stream planned. So, fortunately, if you're unable to make it to London, you'll be able to see all of the fantastic talks on your computers or whatever you connect to the internet, phones, whatever. You'll be able to see everything that's going on, hopefully. And yeah, I think that's one of the key things about bringing in a more decentralized form of science. You need people from all over the globe being able to access the information. And so also another thing is that we already have like a YouTube with all of the previous talks from last year as well. And so I think a really interesting thing is going to be comparing where a lot of these projects were that sort of, well, this time last year, and seeing how far the projects have come, the communities that they've built. And I'm really excited to see more products rolled out and more people just getting involved and excited. In fact, I was having a conversation with a DAO recently that I think is going to be in your next Bio XYZ cohort, and they have been doing a lot of outreach to traditional pharma and been getting very positive responses. And I think this may be something that, I mean, maybe it's slightly different to academia because it's within pharma, but everyone that they've spoken to about their new sort of model for creating, incubating, and spinning out drugs has got everyone really excited and eager to actually be involved. And so that's something that I have actually noticed, I guess, a little bit of a difference in since this time last year. The amount of skepticism that you're facing when you speak about DeSci is gradually reducing, which is brilliant. That was like the whole objective of DeSci London. Hosting it in, well, not the whole objective, but it's a considerable amount, is showing that, there are some really amazing things that are going on in this space with people that are really passionate about changing science. And I think that, yeah, if we're able to continue on and prove to the scientific community that there is this new way of doing science that works actually better than the sort of status quo, then we'll be doing a great job.
Yeah, that is phenomenal news that sort of this skepticism is dwindling. And I agree with you in the fact that like sort of conferences provide really sort of nice sort of benchmark points to sort of look back and see how things are growing and changing. Yeah, like the DeSci movement, I think when you are someone who's involved in it can be consuming and not in a bad way. I know that maybe has a negative connotation, but I think when you align with something that's got quite a mission-based sort of like visionary goal, it does start to sort of really permeate all aspects of your life. And you could liken us to sort of the
Noticed
DeSci.
me thinking about DeSci.
Yeah, exactly.
Joking. Joking. That's not the case.
But yeah, it's amazing to see that this community is growing and events like DeSci London are really critical. Maybe, I mean, You may decline to answer this question, but what other DeSci events have you found to be really great activation points?
Good question. Is it silly if I say all of them? Different reasons as well, because I
Can you
think, as you
explain
mentioned, they've got
in what way?
all got different objectives. So DeSci Berlin was brilliant because it brought together these builders, and I think DeSci Paris is a similar situation. DeSci Paris is very workshop focused, and then when blockchain met bio in Zuzalu and DeSci sort of was in this space for a couple of months with the rest of crypto, that was fantastic because you're bringing in people that are really, deep into the crypto space that haven't maybe not really heard about DeSci in general. And so that was an amazing opportunity. And then also Symbio Beta as well. I'm full disclosure, part of that team, and have been curating a brilliant lineup of DeSci speakers in at their conference in May 6th to 9th, and that's in the Bay Area. So if you're unable to make it in person to stuff in Europe and you're based in the US, I'd highly recommend attending Symbio Beta because they are really focusing on DeSci at the moment. They're primarily synthetic biology, which is another major passion of mine. But yeah, they're really interested in creating new forms of science and society in general. And so that is something that I'd massively recommend as well. So DeSci Berlin, DeSci Paris, Zuzalu, and its sort of iterations, and Symbio Beta are all amazing sort of catalysts for the space. And I know that there are also a number of other communities out there that are focusing on specific cities. So that those were just the communities that I've attended and I can speak to. I know that there's a number of other ones, like DeSci Denver is going on at the moment, DeSci NYC. There's communities in Tokyo, Asia in general, Africa, and then I think Montreal is another one, or Toronto, that have significant, or well, at least frequent meetups. So yeah, it's just fantastic to see, these communities popping up all over the place. And yeah, so that would be my answer.
Okay, so shifting gears a little bit, you've mentioned that you are a PhD candidate at Imperial College London and you are very passionate about sort of synthetic biology and synbio. And sort of, I think speaking to, we are both sort of young members of the DeSci community. We are sort of, and I think there is a large contingent of like, Gen Z, as you've said, folk who are like coming in with a lot of energy and a lot of passion, which is amazing. I wanted to know what you think the role of Gen Z is in DeSci. And I think the role, especially of university students in DeSci.
Yeah, so shout out to the Gen Z takeover of the DeSci podcast. We are the next generation of, well, I guess the world, but also science. We've officially entered the workforce, and as a result, I think we're seeing this change where people aren't really happy with the current situation in academia, in industry. They don't really see avenues that they're interested in, or they see them and they think they can do them better. And that's definitely a driving force for me in creating DeSci London and being part of the DeSci community in general. But this does also transcend DeSci as well. There are a number of fantastic organizations that are trying to do science in a different way, and one notable one would be Nucleate. It is a collective of students, the student-run organization that brings together all of these different stakeholders in the biopharma industry, and tries to spin up and spin out biopharma, biotech startups from universities because they've been, in university and they've not seen the support that is essentially needed to create these cool biotech startups, and they've created themselves, which is fantastic. And I think it's of a particular notable mention because of the recent collaboration with Molecule. And I think it's fantastic. I tweeted about this because it's so brilliant to see two networks or two of what quite honestly are my passions of having DeSci collaborate with this new form of student-led organization. Is brilliant to see because it's these two groups of people that are thinking differently. They're trying to make those like leaps forward in technology by providing support, tech tools, advice to people interested in building companies and building organizations, building just cool things in science. And so seeing these two different ecosystems collaborate here is really exciting. I'm really excited to see what comes of it as well, like in terms of the actual products that are created. I'm not sure if you were able to give more information about
The
the exact partnership
partnership.
in general.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you for asking. I feel like I'm being interviewed now.
Can go
But
first.
Molecule and Nucleate have partnered, as you've said. Nucleate is a student-led organization that is sort of I guess their tagline is sort of empowering the next generation of bio innovators, which is basically like just creating these networks of really like sort of business-minded science university students who are interested in biotech, and really like it Nucleate serves to sort of connect. It's a networking sort of function, but also it's like a massively sort of tutoring function, and really coaches up a lot of these aspiring bio entrepreneurs. And so that and they exist sort of in the trad world, traditional world, of science. But given the sort of I think ability of young university students and maybe their sort of higher proclivity for Web3 technology, Molecule thought it would be a great idea to partnership with sponsoring Nucleate, and we are having 10 venture
Places.
fellows.
Yeah, fellows, right?
Yeah,
So
so
10
yeah.
venture fellows. What are the fellows? Who are they?
So if you want to apply to be a venture fellow, you may. We haven't we it's going to work the same effectively as a job application and interview sort of process, and then the 10 fellows will come on to Molecule, and they will help us with sourcing projects. We have got I'm not sure if people have seen whispers of a new product that Molecule has been building. But the Venture Fellows will be working with that product and sourcing projects from universities and sort of across the world. And Molecule serve to sort of teach them about DeSci and our products, the IPNFTs and IPTs. We're really hoping that they'll be able to tap into like a source of incredibly high quality scientific projects in the universities. And I think just generally spread the message of DeSci to the right community. I mean, as we've said, sort of this next generation is going to be sort of taking the helm at some point. And I think to create awareness and build community at this stage is amazing. The job is paid, so it's beneficial for everyone. And we're really, really excited to do it, and we're hoping to expand. If this goes well, we're hoping to expand. So I think the sole sort of thing that we keep coming back to in this podcast is really the net necessity of community in DeSci. And I think that every element of DeSci is really critical. I think, if you speak to anyone, I think that they will go, the whole thing would fall apart without, us, or whatever sect they belong to. The power of community is to sort of blend all of those variable bits, and sort of put the DAOs together with the people who are building products, and put that together with the people who have money to fund, and that only happens sort of through community organization.
Yeah.
Just I think.
I will say that there is a difficulty in communities, though, because quite often the value that you create is not one that is sort of realized by that community. And I think that this is a great thing in DeSci because it makes it more decentralized, and the value that we create is seen in the partnerships, the collaborations that come about, and the people that we connect with and bring into the community. But in terms of like value that's accrued by the community itself, it's quite, this is like a something that we do out of passion. Like, this is a not really like a great business model. I wouldn't recommend going into at least the sort of like community building space if you're wanting to get rich quick. It's very much a labor of love. And so, yeah, I think that being able to see that the value that you create, it just goes so far, is one of the really important things to sort of like consider when creating the community.
I completely agree. I think that the stereotype of sort of, and I think this is sort of what happens when you are crypto adjacent and more than crypto adjacent, I guess, which is what DeSci is. But this sort of external trope of that all crypto sort of organizations are get rich quick schemes, and it feels, I think, a bit dubious to people who are outside of that organization. And I think, DeSci is really, really not about that. People who come in and are able to make most impact in the ecosystems are people who really align with that understanding that, this is a public good. And it's, really comes down to a deeply caring, loving part of someone, which is like this need to fix a broken scientific system, which is probably an extreme thing to say, but yeah, I think DeSci comes from a space of a lot of love for people. Labor of love is the perfect term for it, I guess. Yeah, I mean that's what crypto means. Not crypto, apologies. DeSci means to me, and yeah, I wanted to know what your thoughts were.
So we are really early. We're really, really early in the development of DeSci in general. And so I think seeing some of these projects mature, and there are going to be some really cool milestones in the future which actually bring DeSci into the real world, that real world application that people are looking for, that's really elusive in the Web3 space. So I'll give like VALIDAO as an example, and just because I love synthetic biology, I am involved in their community, and also they're a big proponent in the DeSci space. So I find what they're doing really interesting, because they're trying to source different academic projects that have the potential to create cool products. And so in synthetic biology, I'll give the example of one of the projects that they recently funded from Imperial College. There's a researcher called Rodrigo Ledesma Amaro, and he's working with this yeast called Yarrower lipolytica, and he is aiming to create a new form of palm oil, and that is created through yeast. And so I think listeners will be aware of the damage that is being caused by palm oil plantations, knocking down primary rainforests, and so this is sort of the objective of it, is to create a sustainable alternative. And so what VALIDAO have done is they have funded the research in the hope that the IP that is generated will then become commercialized and sold as a product. And when you've got that sort of product that is out in the market, which is owned by a DAO, then in theory, you get this situation where actual revenue comes back into a DAO, and hopefully, and that will be used to fund further DeSci, well, projects, and well, not DeSci projects, it'll be used to fund different synthetic biology projects that, in the hope is, will also bring in revenue to the DAO. And so when you're at that sort of stage, then that's when I think things are going to get really spicy and interesting, because it's going to be a situation where we're creating products in a way that's never really been done before, and it's being owned by the community. And I'm really, really excited to see DeSci in, maybe that will be its like teenage years, but right now we're toddlers, you know? And so and this applies to a bunch of different DeSci BioDAOs as well. And I think what's really interesting as well is that they are going about it in minutely different ways. Like if you look at the governance, the tokenomics, all of those like nitty gritty topics, they are slightly different models. And that's a fantastic thing about DeSci, right? You can try and experiment with all of these different funding mechanisms and just ways of doing things, and hope that as a result, you'll find the most effective ways of doing things. And so I think that's something that I'm really excited to see sort of come as the space develops.
Yeah, I think that is a very good assumption about sort of the future of DeSci. Yeah, I think that's kind of, it's drawing us to sort of a natural end here. And yeah, I think I've really enjoyed this conversation about how to leverage your community and the importance of community in DeSci. I think that it is a really important conversation and something that is really difficult to get right. I think it is actually very hard to get right, and I think you guys are doing it well at DeSci London. I think, you know, I've only ever heard positive things, and I think given that you have like such a passionate and young team that's really like sort of creating something that's quite impressive, really, and that is normally sort of done by large crazy teams, I think that the work you're doing is really, really important. And I think, I hope that you get the support that you need, and that you have all of the right people attending, and it's able to turn into a real, real sort of bootstrapping onboarding event.
Yeah, thank you very much. One last thing to add is that if you're interested in attending, if you're interested in speaking, if you're interested in supporting, whether that be time or money, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. And that's something that people can do that are listening to this. We're a community grassroots organization. We do this out of passion. And so if there's some way that you think you'll be able to help, then by all means, get in touch.
Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for joining us.